At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid. Game time decisions. Kevin Walsh with you on a Friday night. I want to go through the card. I'm going to get you a Davis Maddox same game parlay as well. Let me just double check. I actually am not sure if I have anything tipping here at 7 o'clock. I don't. JY does, though. JY, excellent stuff. In case you missed it, he's on the Knicks tonight. Brunson over 5.5 assists, and he's going to lay the number with the Brooklyn Nets. That's the early portion here of tonight's NBA board. Memphis did beat Iowa State, by the way, in that Liberty Bowl. 36-26, your final score. Seth Hennigan throws for 364 yards, four passing touchdowns. Rocco backed 446 yards and three passing touchdowns. We have had all overs today for the Bulls, which I know some. I know people don't think like this, but you're on the over, right, in the Cotton Bowl like I am tonight. I'm just saying, we're not due for an over. We've had a lot of overs, but maybe it's one of those days. Maybe we just get countless overs here for the Cotton Bowl. Let's throw it over to Davis Maddox. Get a same-game parlay that will come back and re-rack the card. Here's an SGP from Davis.
All right, guys, we are back for another same-game parlay over on the FanDuel Sportsbook. 13-1 winner in Thursday Night Football last night. We are going back to the NBA tonight. We have the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are traveling up to the Rocky Mountains to play the Denver Nuggets. Begin by taking the over on 234.5. Aaron Gordon is out for the Denver Nuggets. That significantly weakens their defense. And look, I love Chet. He has no chance against Nikola Jokic. I think this is going to be a pretty no sweat over 235.5 in this game. And then anytime you're taking the over with these teams, you got to take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to score 30 or more points. I think that one feels like a great correlated leg to add. And then we are also going to add Nikola Jokic to score 30 or more points. I think you could also, if you're looking to up the risk, take him to record 12 or more rebounds in this game. And then we are going to take Michael Porter Jr., who is going to have an extended role with no Aaron Gordon, to record 15 or more points in this game. This four-leg same-game parlay is going to give us plus 594 odds, over 235.5 points. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to record 30 or more points, Nikola Jokic to record 30 or more points, and Michael Porter Jr. to record 15 or more points in this game. Good luck tonight, everybody.
All right, great stuff there from Davis. Our radio audience is with us here on a Friday night, SiriusXM, channel 159. The best bet tonight in the NBA is Chet Holmgren, over 9.5 rebounds plus assists. It is a huge game, and that is where Davis is going for his same game parlay. I am trusting Chet over the 9.5 rebounds plus assists. He's missed this in two consecutive. That has only happened three other times this season, 3-0. To the over in this exact bounce back spot. It has the potential to carry this with rebounds alone. Had a double digit rebound performance against Denver just a couple of weeks ago when these two teams met here. So I like Chet specifically in the rebound markets if you'd like to play the 7.5 number, but I'm going to add the assist as well and go 9.5 rebounds plus assist tonight for Chet. Was tempted by the Denver money line here, but I'm going to stick with the props here. The other props for me in the NBA: De'Aaron Fox over 6.5 assists. Fox has now missed this prop in two straight. He has not missed it in three consecutive all season, 4-0 in this spot. Also, we've talked about Fox off of a loss and how great he has been, and we play that angle against Portland. Hit the prop of points plus assists. He scored 43 in the game. They lost, though. So I could have came back to points plus assists. They raised that number because for Fox, it is difficult to go, 40 and 40, right? 40-35. I'm taking the points out of this here tonight. If you take a look this season when Fox scores 35 or more, in the following game, he's 4-2 to the over of his 6.5 assist prop. I think that makes sense. The idea that a guy just went out there, took all the shots in the world, had it go, and now wants to get his teammates involved. Plus, the matchup is perfect. Playing Atlanta tonight with a game total over 250. There's so many chances for Fox. On the other side of the court, there's a lot of chances for Trae Young to go over 29.5 points. This is one of the simpler spots you'll see me probably involved with all season long, but just because it's simple doesn't mean it's wrong. He had a 7-game streak of 30-plus snapped in his last outing, and was snapped because he had a poor shooting performance. It was his first time since the end of November he shot less than 40% from the field. And when that happened in the follow-up game, he shot 52% from the field and scored 45 points. Trae Young absolutely could get you 40 tonight in this matchup here against Sacramento, and that's exactly what I'm going to be backing. The other on-card NBA bet here is going to be FVV over 7.5 assists off of a loss. This number is dropping. He's only missed this number in back-to-back games twice all season long, 8-2 in a bounce back. I want to check something live, and we get the opportunity to do this here on Game Time. I want to go to this Boston-Toronto game and take a look if they've posted any Sam Hauser props. Because what you have tonight, it doesn't look like they have. Maybe we don't have. He's not necessarily going to start. He possibly could tonight. He is starting, and they're going to start Cornette as well. That is not the starting lineup they ran with. So this is the second game all year where Al Horford and Kristaps Porzingis are out. Hauser in that game came off the bench but played 32 minutes. I really want to see what his number is tonight, especially with this being the second leg of a back-to-back. There could be a lot of work available. And as we mentioned earlier on in the show, just keep your eyes. If you're willing to play him, you know, I think Scotty Barnes with the 6.5 assists would make sense. He has been pretty consistent on this number, hitting it in 5 out of his last 6 games, 3 consecutive. With Dennis Schroeder out in the last game, not out, but shifting to the bench, Scotty Barnes had 8 assists. The worry for me and the reason I'm not jumping over this number is tonight they're playing in that last game, they were playing the Wizards. So you go from the Wizards to the Celtics, right? So your assist opportunities are going to be significantly less. The quality of shots for your teammates is going to be significantly less. Horford and Kristaps being out, it could provide paint opportunities. So maybe it's there. It's a tough number. There is a plus money option out there, which I am, again, tempted by. I'm not bet. I want to see if the Hauser stuff comes available. And that's kind of where the NBA card sits for me here. I don't want to blast through the college football stuff, so we'll do that with Lisey. I would just mention, once again, Kyle Kuzma props make a lot of sense. I'm just not interested in betting Kuz again. The other number, so this was an off-day bet for me, and luckily I didn't tell anybody about it because I just kind of lost on my own, was Tyrese Maxey over 3.5 made threes in the game against New Orleans. Now, I lost this bet on 3-6 shooting. And the surprising thing for me was the 6 attempts. If I would have lost that bet on 3-of-9 shooting, 3-of-10 shooting, obviously I would have been frustrated that Maxey didn't shoot it better, but I would have been given the volume that I was projecting with Embiid out. Instead, I didn't get that volume. So tonight, Maxey is again 3.5, as high as plus 130, plus 134, I think it is. But what's the volume? Now I feel fearful of the volume. That's the issue that I'm having here. Maxey was in a clear, obvious bounce-back spot because of the performance he put up against Miami on Christmas Day. But now tonight against a team that obviously defends in the Houston Rockets, can I trust Maxey for 4 threes? Not if I'm going to get 6 attempts. That's not good enough. 4 out of 6 is a ridiculous night. So that's the issue that I had with those Maxey props there. We'll come right back. We'll look at the weekend coming up here in the NFL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions. There it is. 15 games left in week 17. How many regular season games does that mean we have? 31? Not bad. Not bad. It's a lot of good stuff here. Saturday, we're isolated. We've, of course, got the Sunday night or no Monday night football. But I'm glad I remember to say this. I'll probably say it a couple of times. Monday, you've probably seen the commercial running. We are live with college football coverage in studio, 3 p.m., 1 in the morning. Do not miss it. We have you covered here on the grid. This is your week 17 slate. Let's start to dive into some of the specifics here with the NFC playoff picture, which a little more up for grabs all of a sudden here. Why? Niners get smashed by the Ravens. Number one seed is not a guarantee. Now, I know the Niners are a big favorite against the Commanders, but just a quick look ahead. Their final game is against the LA Rams. Obviously, the Rams are hot. Eagles, we'll get to their game in a moment, but Detroit's in the mix, playing the Dallas Cowboys, 11-4 against 10-5. This is your Saturday game here. Detroit catching 4.5 against the Cowboys. Big time total, 52.5. Game should be high scoring, no doubt. This Detroit offense indoors. This Dallas defense, you know, I don't believe in it. Leaning towards Detroit. But when we talk about the playoff picture here, the Detroit Lions would win. First of all, they announced themselves as absolute clear-cut NFC contenders. Road in Dallas, nobody's been able to really put a dent on that team in Dallas all season long. That would be incredible. And pressure's on. Philly and San Fran. Then all of a sudden, Detroit could jump those teams. And that's going to feel valuable because right now the odds are the Rams will sit here in the sixth spot. That's what the odds are saying, okay? If they do, then you drawing this hot Rams team feels dangerous. So that's important to note. The Eagles are playing the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray's been missing practice this week with an illness. TBD as to whether or not this guy's going to play in this game. But look, this number's going to be big regardless. Philly's laying 11.5 here against this very, very vulnerable Arizona run defense. How much do they just let this ground game dominate? Because they can if they want. Hurts threw over 300 yards, though, against the Giants on Christmas. A pick six. Was it Goddard's fault? I don't know. He tripped. He fell. It was a freak play. That's what kept that game close. The Eagles were about to run and hide and put it away. And a nice total there at 48. Here's the thing, though. Philly at home will not be laying as much as San Fran on the road. Niners, two tuds at Washington. My goodness, what is this game going to be? 49.5 is your total. Now, Brock Purdy has not necessarily been the same quarterback home road for the San Francisco 49ers. But this Commanders defense is atrocious. Can't stop the pass. Can't stop the ground. Everybody does whatever they want. Trevor Siemian last week became the first quarterback in what feels like forever to not throw multiple passing touchdowns on this team. And the makeup was Breece Hall ran in a couple of touchdowns on this team. McCaffrey and Brock Purdy are both going to be in line for big days. McCaffrey might have his highest scoring touchdown price of the season. Purdy's going to, I don't think they're going to make him 2.5 passing touchdowns, but 1.5 is going to be over minus 200 in this game. Obviously, the Niners are in a good spot. I'll say for the Rams, you're sneaky cheering for the Niners and the Cardinals this week, looking for some divisional help, as well as, I guess, Dallas. If the Niners could clinch the one seed here, they may take the double bye and not play a lot of guys against the Rams in that Week 18 game as the Rams look to secure their spot in the postseason. You take a look at the NFC outright market. San Francisco remains the favorite because they are the one seed and projected finish as that. I do wonder how we feel about this gap here. When we take a look, plus 380 Eagles, 5-1 Dallas, 750 Detroit, and then you get to these big numbers, 31, 35-1, right? If you go to the NFC Championship game and it is San Francisco, considering what happened with the Baltimore number, is it a touchdown line? If it is, you have to keep that in mind as a potential hedge player. How much, let's say you take the Eagles at plus 380 and they go to San Francisco, and their money line is not going to be plus 380. Baltimore's was a little bit better than 2-1. But are you going to get double the value based on how they've treated the Niners this year? They didn't necessarily, you know, shoot down the Niners in the market just because of what happened against Baltimore. So that's going to still be a very strong number in an NFC Championship game. And that's the Eagles, who would be the toughest team, I think, for the team that they would book the strongest, most likely, in San Francisco. Let's jump over to the AFC side here. Things feel a lot more complicated, certainly, in the AFC. But what a phenomenal game we have between Baltimore and Miami. Right now, the top two choices to win the AFC go head-to-head. And whoever wins this game will leave it as the number one seed in the AFC. It will not be done. Miami could still lose it in week 18 if they win. If Baltimore wins, I believe it's over. 3.5-point line in favor of the Ravens, total 46.5. No Jalen Waddle. I am already looking for every single Tyreek Hill number in the book. So a 97.5 receiving yard number on him here. I'm curious about more. I don't know if I like Miami to win the game is a bit of the issue. But if I did, I think Tyreek Hill could get back in the MVP conversation. And I think he could come back in, certainly in your offensive player of the year conversation as well. If, look, again, just be honest about it. Lamar is the MVP favorite because they beat the Niners. It is not, there's nothing else about it. So if the Dolphins beat the Ravens, I don't see how Lamar would continue to be the MVP favorite. McCaffrey, maybe. Tua, maybe. But I think Tyreek would have to be a huge part of it. It's something to keep in mind here if you want to get in the mix with some of these numbers. I am considering, and I know this will sound probably more complicated than people like, a little Ravens money line, Tyreek MVP cover situation for some of the stuff that I have in the market here. Kansas City, we're going to go to their game against Cincinnati. Now, the Chiefs are laying under a touchdown. Oh, my gosh, where are we? Under a touchdown at home to Jake Browning. No way. They just laid 10.5, 11 to the Raiders. Cincinnati is not. I don't care if Jamar Chase is. I don't care. Cincinnati is not 4 or 5 points better than the Raiders. There's no way. This feels like KC value to me. And I think we're at a point now, how many people are really looking to bet the Chiefs? We'll, you know, check some of those money splits, but that's something to keep in mind with Kansas City and Cincinnati. I want to continue to move this year. I know we have a lot of big games within the AFC, but I really want to talk about the AFC South if we could, because this division is all up for grabs. Now, Jacksonville's the favorite, but Trevor Lawrence out. Trevor Lawrence is out for that football game against the Carolina Panthers. That is obviously a huge, huge deal. While C.J. Beathard is a guy who has career starts under the belt, and while the opponent is the Carolina Panthers, Panthers are playing better, and nobody around the Jags is playing well. There's people close to this team who feel that Trevor Lawrence, I know while he's playing bad, is carrying a major workload here. So now Beathard is going to have to elevate guys. Obviously, no Christian Kirk. That's worrisome here in this matchup against the Carolina Panthers. And if you go back to those, you see the line dropping, 3.5. This line was 6.5. They thought Trevor Lawrence was going to play because every week Trevor Lawrence is a major question mark and then just goes out there and proceeds to play. But you take a look at the market here. Indianapolis is plus 340, Houston's 4-1. Now, the Colts are favored against the Raiders at home, and the Texans are favored this week at home against the Tennessee Titans. I think the reason the Colts are sat in front of Houston is week 18 Texans-Colts. And because of that, the Colts are probably favored at home in that game, and that's where you get that little discrepancy. For me, I think Houston can absolutely go out there and win that football game, though, with C.J. Stroud. The reality is these two teams need help from either Carolina this week or Tennessee next week. But if Trevor Lawrence is going to miss both of those games, which is very possible, then the Jaguars could drop all the way out of the playoff picture. Joe Lisi's up next right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Game Time Decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined now by my college and pro Football Today co-host, Joe Lisi. Lisi, how are you feeling here? It's a Friday night.
Oh, I'm feeling fantastic. How about that Sun Bowl and Liberty Bowl? Death taxes always over the Sun Bowl and Liberty Bowl. Fantastic finishes in both. And those were the two best games of the college bowl season, as far as I'm concerned. I know they were blowout specials, but to me, they were like one-point games from start to finish.
I love the game last night with Arizona and OU. I thought that was a really good game. But I don't think you there were some good games today. Clearly, they went well for you. I want to talk about the Cotton Bowl. I'm going to just tell this to people here, okay? I don't think people maybe fully understand how often Lisa and I talk about certain things and how much she has completely corrupted my way of thinking. And he keeps telling me he doesn't like this game, and it is breaking my heart. It is absolutely I want all my bets back. I want them to just cash out, no bets, go to sleep tonight at 9 o'clock.
That's it.
Talk to me. What have you made, at least of this, Joe? What have you made of all this market movement on this game? You, me, and Ben have covered this game quite a bit on College Football Today with Odds in Motion. And this number ballooned up to 5.5 today. Right now, I'm down to 4.5 here. What are you making of the way the market has moved for this game?
Well, think about it. As soon as they put this line out, it was looked at as Missouri had a motivation factor. They wanted to prove that they deserve to be there. This is a magical season for Aliyah Drinkowitz and the Missouri Tigers, and rightfully so. 10-win football team, they stepped up. They went toe-to-toe with Georgia as basically a double-digit underdog in the middle part of the year. They went toe-to-toe with LSU, lost a heartbreaker, and we know how they finished the season. It just comes down to the fact that Kyle McCord wasn't in this ballgame and Marvin Harrison Jr. This line completely flipped because of all the opt-outs. But now you look at it. Devin Brown got a passing total of 232.5. Travion Henderson has a rushing total of 113.5. Amika Abuka will play in this ballgame. It doesn't look like the productivity is going to drop off a cliff for the Ohio State Buckeyes, and I still favor Jim Knowles and that defense in terms of that secondary that for the whole year held opposing quarterbacks to basically a 51% completion percentage. I have to favor Ohio State in this ballgame, Kev.
So I'll tell you this. I do not like the Missouri motivation angle because there are a lot of guys playing for Ohio State that you typically wouldn't expect to be playing. Marvin Harrison Jr. is confirmed out of this game. So I am not on Missouri because of that. I'm also not betting Missouri full game because if you look at it, the comp spots, right, Joe, would be your LSU Tigers and the Georgia Bulldogs, other teams at the top 15, top 10 in the country. And they did lose both of those games by more than a touchdown. But covered against Georgia, backdoor loss in that game against LSU. The first half was different, though. I think perhaps for Missouri still, and I know a lot of people have been impressed with what Missouri is doing in the transfer portal and what they could be next season, but I think maybe eventually the talent wins out. But in the first half, Joe, is how I'm trusting Missouri. +3.5 for the first half. In four of their five games as an underdog, they held a halftime lead. The exception was Georgia, and they were tied. They haven't even trailed at halftime in any of these games. Getting a field goal and a half, maybe it takes Devin Brown a quarter to just get fully, fully adjusted in this game. That's how I'm going to back the Missouri Tigers, a little in-and-out special.
No, it's not a bad look, Kev. I mean, I like the fact that of a first half look, Missouri, if they're going to come to play, you're going to get their best shot in the early part of this ballgame. I will say, for me, I don't want to side. I lean to Ohio State. I actually lean to the under in this ballgame because I think the rushing attack needs to be prevalent. I do. I lean to the under. I don't like the total of 50.5, but I love Travion Henderson here. Again, I think when you look at both of those ballgames, Georgia, LSU, they were worn down by bigger physical offensive lines, and I still think that Ohio State wants to run the football, especially with Devin Brown early. Get his feet wet, get him acclimated, the quarterback to wide receiver relationship. If Travion Henderson and that rushing attack have success early, he might not have to throw. So that's the way I'm looking at it. I'm all over Travion Henderson over the 113.5, but I took a shot. 150 plus at plus, I think it's plus, I got to take a look, plus 196, but I altered them up as high as 175. I got it at plus 390. I'm taking a shot tonight.
Look, there definitely is some vulnerability, I think, to the Missouri run defense. The Henderson starting number at 113.5 is too high for me. But, you know, if you want to just kind of fire it up, I get it. He is live to have a breakout type of game. He's that type of player. And we know bowl games, at times, they'll just stick with the hot hand, right? And we see why. Rocco Beck just threw for 450 yards.
I know.
Right? Like, we see crazy things in bowl games where They just go, all right, who's got a hot hand? Let it spin, let it rip, right? I mean, he just had 300 passing yards for Devin Leary, for him, which is wild, right? So I from that angle, understand it. I'm trusting Devin Leary. I'm on the over in this game, but by the way, I've been looking forward to betting this total here. I think more of the absences are actually on the defensive side. I know that's crazy to say with Marvin being out, but I'm not worried about McCord being out, is what it comes down to. You and I have poked a lot of fun at the other guy because he's all excited the Syracuse Orange are bringing in Kyle McCord. We'll talk to him come November and see if he's still excited about Kyle McCord. I think Devin Brown can fill in nicely here. I bet him over 1.5 passing touchdowns, and I took his 30.5 rushing yards prop too, Joe. A different element we haven't seen from Ohio State this year. Brown, a far more mobile quarterback in this game.
No, I agree with you, and his total is 30.5. So think about that. If you want to take Devin Brown, if you don't think that Missouri could get to him in terms of sack yardage, 30.5 for Devin Brown breaking contain, that's a great number. That's an added attribute that they didn't have with Kyle McCord. So that's why I think the rushing attack is the first option for Ryan Day. And let's not forget, Ryan Day came to play last year, right, with the semifinal playoff game. He's hearing a lot of rumblings, a lot of pressure. You're calling for his job because he can't be Michigan. If he gets up, he's not going to stop, right? No, you are. You're calling for his job every time we do coaches on the hot seat.
Well, I'm just saying.
Can't beat Michigan.
It's a conversation. I can't ask I can't ask a question.
No, I'm just saying. You're right. Let's go with it. Run. We're going to run it right down their throats. All I'm saying is that if he gets up, I don't think he takes the foot off the gas. So if they do have a hot hand in terms of Travion Henderson, and he sees that his offensive line is chugging, I don't think he's going to stop. Yeah. I think he'll run it 50 times in this ballgame.
Look, tomorrow, again, college football today, we've got a CFT starting at 9 a.m. We'll get into the Saturday games quite a bit. Here's my question to you as someone that I know, and this was, you were going to bet Florida State no matter what. Mm-hmm. 20.5 is the number. And it's funny to ask you because you probably don't really care.
I know.
But... I was going to say, are you almost going to let this line keep going at this point? You'll just take the last number, the highest number?
Yeah, I mean, the 980 is where I'm going. Look, have an undefeated for you. Come on, Kev. I mean, here's the thing. I understand Tay Rodemaker, Keon Coleman, Johnny Wilson, but there's still a motivational factor for Mike Norvell. You know, this is a letdown spot for Kirby Smart. They won 29 straight games. They're playing a team that got left out of the college football playoff. This reminds me of when Georgia played Texas and Sam Ellinger 5 years ago. They were an 11.5-point favorite against Texas. They had a ton of opt-outs, and Texas won 28-21 because Texas cared more than Georgia did. Look, Georgia, I mean, think about it. They were back-to-back national champions. Now you're playing a team with a third-string quarterback. How are you going to be motivated for that? I don't know. And I understand Dejon Edwards and Kendall Milton are playing. But again, I can't look to Georgia. I can only look to the points. And if you're taking the points, if you love them at plus 20.5, you got to love the plus 982. So that's the way I'm rolling.
When people were campaigning for Florida State to get in, I said, if you want them in, you better be betting them. And the thing is I said, listen, I know you will bet them if they get in. Lisey, the whole team is out. That's a lot. They're missing what, 11 starters?
Yes.
More?
Yes. Well, it's next man up. It's next man. The freshmen and sophomores are going to carry the torch. Here's the thing. You get an undefeated football team at 10-1. That's all I care about. I don't care about
right. We
got breakdowns. I mean, we don't know how these kids are going to respond. I mean, we have no idea until the game's played.
What I think's really interesting, though, Joe, is like they drew Georgia, right? And that's
right.
I would love to know what this line would be against Penn State. You know what I mean? Like, I would like to know what this line would be if they drew even like Liberty. Like, I don't even know if they'd be favored over Caden Salter. I'm serious. Like,
they would be.
Who's even playing quarterback? Would they? I might take Salter.
They can run Wildcat. Look, I just, all I know is that Mike Norvell is like taking this, the whole university is taking this personally, right? That is the best motivation. Well, you're going to give me 10-1. You're giving me 10-1. I might alt it. Florida State -7. Could I get it?
Listen. No. The thing is, they aren't taking it. They are taking it personally, but not in a good way. Everybody's just trying to leave, and they're trying to leave their conference. I don't like how they're responding, to be honest with you, Joe, but I love how you're responding. We'll do it tomorrow on College Football Today. Appreciate it. Dave Sharapan joins the show next year on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
It's important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back with you right here. It's Game Time Decisions on SportsGrid. Friday night, Dave Sharapan joins the show. Consig will be on in-game live starting in 20 minutes, so make sure you're locked on the grid. Tonight, you guys will be covering the Cotton Bowl, I am sure, of it, Ohio State and Missouri. What have you been hearing around this game, Dave? A lot of line movement throughout this day, really.
The line movement's been crazy in the bowl games all week, and the line movement's been wrong. You know, the steam's been absolutely wrong. So, I mean, the line went up because Harrison went on the trip. It looked like he was going to play. He's not playing. Now what? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I heard you in the Encyclopedia of College Football, Lisi, talking about it. Outstanding breakdown. It's Ohio State or nothing. I think at least early, game's got to have juice. We saw some games earlier with some juice. That Clemson game was crazy back and forth. Notre Dame did what they were supposed to do. I think Ohio State does what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I think, to me, I think that'd be very dangerous with some of the motivation stuff we've been hearing. So I took a Missouri first half, 3.5. It wasn't as expensive. It's probably way too expensive now. Let me see if I can get you an update on that. I have to probably look around. I'll look around while I talk.
The number's down to 4 here in Vegas.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
here's no more 3. Yeah, that's probably not. Yeah, that you're right. Well, listen, it was -130 at the time. It is now, I see -134, Dave, out there for a first half 3.5, we can tell people that's a DraftKings price.
That's the best price on planet Earth. It's 2.5 painted everywhere right now. So
that's an alt price. Number, to be fair. An alt number. -130, but I think -130 to get 3.5 in the first half is worth it. I don't know if you would disagree, but you're paying -120 for 2.5 right now on FanDuel. I'll give you 10 cents for a point.
In the first half, it should be more than that, so that's not a bad move.
Right.
To get over to 3, if that's what you like, for sure. But I got -2.5. I'm looking at 5 places here in Vegas right now. It's -2.5, -110. So plus 3.5 in the first half, it's usually 20 cents a point. So that's pretty good.
Look, that game obviously tonight is big. I want to ask you about a game tomorrow.
Penn State.
All right, go ahead. Give me your quick thoughts on Penn State on this.
They're winning. I just want them to win. That's it. I just want them
to
win.
Free money line leg?
I think they're going to win, but we've seen these things before, and I don't know how much, you know, Manny not being there with the defense is going to really – it could hurt them a lot. It really could. I don't know. But I think Penn State wins a game. I think that's an entertaining game. At least in the morning. It's a 9 o'clock start here, so I'll be up early watching it. What's your game that you're talking about tomorrow? Please tell me.
Florida State, Georgia. I bring this up. So that's what I was going to ask you in, I don't know. See, this is kind of in the room. Are they having a good time? I'd imagine the answer is no. This, you have to price a Florida State team who has no losses and no starters. I just said to Lisi, I think Florida State would be like a, would be a dog to Liberty. I think I'd make Liberty minus 1.5. What are we doing here?
I'm watching two places here in town right now, as we speak, go to 21 on the game. Right now. It just moved to 21. I don't know what I would make Florida State. Against a team that's playing everybody with everything to play for, against them, I mean, can you imagine if they're playing Liberty? It's pick 'em. Can you imagine if they're playing? I don't know. This is unprecedented, K-Dub. We're going to remember this bowl season for years. This was the year that everything changed. And then next year with the 12 teams, yeah. What in the world are the bowl games going to be like trying to bet or book or make numbers? It's going to be really, really hard.
Well, we're going to eliminate, right, obviously, some of the bad ones because we'll be increasing good ones. But here's the thing, Dave. Nobody creates more problems for themselves than college football. Problems that don't need to be for years. Yeah. We would hear, "Oh, these kids need to be paid." And people would go, "Oh, well, no, well, what do you want me to pay the catcher on the softball team? I mean, what do I pay the swim team captain? How do we do it?" And then they went, "What if you just give them an open market and they can make their own money?" And the whole thing was easy, solved, and fixed, right? So now we have this transfer portal. Everyone goes, "Oh my God, what do we do? Do what every other professional league does, and don't open the portal until the season is over. That's all you have to do. That's what, Dave, imagine if right now NFL free agency started in a week.
Right,
what, that would like, be a disaster. You know what I mean? Like backup, like the Sam Darnold would be leaving the Niners because the Vikings are offering him a starting job next year. Right. But that's not how this stuff works.
This is a professional sport. But are the other sports? That's the problem. Football has to be its own entity. You're right. It really does.
Yeah. But it's just the college football transfer portal opens on January 7th. Why is that so hard?
Well, what does a kid that knows he's transferring, he doesn't play in the bowl game in December.
But you'll get a lot less. You'll get a lot less because kids will say, you know what? It's not like I'm, because when you, so like Riley Leonard, for example, right? Now, Leonard was kind of injured and was never going to play anyway. But instead of Riley Leonard, who committed a note, you can't choose your school and still play is really what, like Grayson McCall, the Coastal Carolina kid, the Chanticleers, was going to play in that game, but he picked NC State, so he couldn't play anymore because NC State's not going to tell him, "Oh, go ahead, have fun." So he can't play.
Right.
So, but if McCall never picks his spot, then he's going to go out there and play.
Maybe. If he doesn't publicly pick his spot, that's the thing. There's so many things going on behind the scenes. I think. You're right. It has to change. It can't keep going like this. We got two big games on Monday. I'm thankful for both of them because I think we're getting two legit, straight, honest games with everybody trying, everybody playing. I can't wait to watch both of them. I might end up in Pasadena at the game on Monday if I can get a passenger to ride along. So I can't wait. These are going to be great games. But the rest of the games leading up to it, not fun for anyone in a book or in a room or numbers or.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun to do in game, like that. You know, the Clemson game today in game was a blast. I was thinking of you. This game has juice. Just kept betting it over. It was awesome.
Yeah, I had the stupidest losses in that game of all time. It doesn't even make. Like, because see, I know you like this stuff, so I'll tell you.
What happened?
So I took each team for a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown.
Right? Big number. What was the number?
So that one was like 2-1, right? So that one was only like 2-1.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So we get Clemson 4 rushing touchdowns, but that's not a problem. Plus 950 rushing touchdown each quarter. Will Shipley tackled at the 1. Nothing in the third quarter. Nothing in the third quarter. First play. For the fourth quarter had 1, 2, 3, 4 rushing touchdowns.
42 points combined. 5 lead changes. Yeah. 4 turnovers in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing.
It was tough. That was tough. That's all right, though. The Notre Dame-Oregon State game had juice, which is all anybody wanted.
That's all.
NFL this weekend.
Yes, sir.
You and I were talking a little bit here with this Dolphin game. Mm-hmm. I think – so, look, here's the story for me. Lamar – did not do anything against the Niners that earned him MVP other than be the quarterback for the team during the game. I'm not saying Lamar played poorly, but that was not a game where you left. Nobody left that game going like, oh, my God, this guy's league MVP. What we left the game is Lamar's the new favorite because it's not Brock Purdy. Ha ha. We told you Brock's no good. We finally don't have to give him the award.
Right.
Right. That's what we did.
Yeah.
So here's my thing then. Right. If the Dolphins beat the Ravens, that means Lamar's not MVP anymore. Favorite,
I'm just going off
of what we see.
Yeah. Who's
it's
next?
Just, it can't be Lamar if they lose to Miami based on everything we've seen.
Correct. I mean, unless he throws for 404 touches and they lose 38-35.
I don't think it matters because then it's going to be either Tua or Tyreek, right?
Well, if they have a big game, yes. The Miami up is like a scale, right? That means the Baltimore down, the Lamar down. So yes, it goes like that. Yes.
But this is where, like, they got this guy Josh Allen sitting at 8-1.
How about that?
40 total touchdowns.
Light him up.
Hey, like he's
the Patriots. They're gonna light him up. They're gonna light the Patriots up.
Come on. I think so too.
They're gonna.
I
light
think it could
up.
Be ugly.
Ugly.
I think that one's probably ugly. What is that number
last
at now?
Home game, jumping through the tables, all this other stuff, headed to the playoffs.
14. 14's a lot.
That's a lot. I mean, how many points is Zappi going to score, though? That's a blowout. Come on.
That's blowout. You got to look at the team total. You got to start moving things around.
Yeah.
Do you see the 14 in Washington? What do you think about the 14 in Washington from the Niners?
Did you see that Jacoby Brissett hurt himself in practice? And it's probably going to be Sam Howell again. They didn't want this guy to play the rest of the year. They had Jacoby go in there, move the ball, and now he's hurt himself in practice?
Yeah.
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 That feels like another blowout. San Francisco coming off of that loss. Somebody got to pay.
Yeah.
Team total over. CMC in your equation?
It's the stupidest thing in the world. It's the stupidest thing in the world.
Wow.
He had 100 yards, a touchdown, 7.5 yards per carry. They got killed. You know why? Because he's a running back, and he's not the most valuable player on the team.
You don't like the running backs either? Everyone in the league don't like the running backs? That you don't like the running backs?
Hold on. Let me ask you. Do you know, I'll tell you this. We spent all offseason where the NFL said, hey, just so you guys know, running backs don't matter. If we then this year give the MVP to a running back,
the irony.
I may end up. I might be done with the awards. I might be done with the awards. I might be
Welcome
done.
Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club.
I might be
it's
done.
Ridiculous.
I might be done with the football awards at least. NBA.
It's too much.
Fun.
I'm telling you, it's too
NBA
much.
NBA will have a little fun. They moved
NBA
Jokic awards. Today
That's
to the NBA.
Focus. NBA. That's your thing.
They moved Jokic to the favorite, by the way.
Who?
So they moved Jokic to the favorite because Embiid's out for another 2 games.
Really?
This is where I love the secret Sharapan is a Sixer fan thing that he always like has to, as the season goes on, he cannot quit the Sixers. As much as you say I can, you know it. Play the song.
Happy New Year, K-Dub.
Be right back. My man.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions on a Friday night. I'm Kevin Walsh. We close out our 2 hours here on Sports Grid. We'll pass it over to In-Game Live, so make sure you don't miss any of that. They will have live coverage of some college basketball happening, some NBA doing. Slow start from both Fox and Young for us, but it is early in that game. Of course, there will be live coverage of the Cotton Bowl, which is where we go for our best bet tonight. Talked about it. We're loading up in this game, but if I had to pick one, it's Devin Brown, the Ohio State quarterback tonight, over 1.5 passing touchdowns here, filling in for Kyle McCord. And McCord had hit this prop in 5 straight games and 7 of his last 8, 9 out of 12 on the year. And I know that Brown is not McCord. McCord won the job. I got you. But Kyle McCord, if he was active in this game, would have this prop at 2.5. Maybe even minus money on that 2.5. This is value tonight on Devin Brown, who battled with McCord all season long. Got to play some in the Indiana game because that quarterback competition was still ongoing. Plenty of weapons for Devin Brown to throw to tonight. And the opponent on the other side, the Missouri Tigers, have allowed 8 of 11 opposing FBS quarterbacks to throw for 2+ passing touchdowns. This is a great number at a plus price tonight on Devin Brown over 1.5 passing touchdowns. I'm also betting Brown over 30.5 rushing yards. That is what he can do that McCord cannot. Missouri this season struggled against the running quarterbacks. Obviously, Jaden Daniels, but Max Brown, Joe Milton, the combination of Howard and Avery Johnson, K-State early season combined for 50+. I think Brown can do it through the air and on the ground tonight, which is why I like the over in this football game at 50.5, but Missouri cover in the first half, getting 3.5 points with the Missouri Tigers. 5 games booked as a dog, 1-4 first halves outright, tied with Georgia at the half. Cotton Bowl, good luck.